Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
From Barangaroo Studios, the AusBiz COB is the key stuff you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, as we say here to kick off podcast, well, hello, hello. It's a Thursday afternoon. The date is the 4th of August, 2022. My name is Kyle Rotter. It is the Close of Business podcast, and I'm joined by David Scott. Hello, David.
G'day, Kyle. How was your day, mate?
It was busy, good, chaotic, all the things that I like about working in this environment, you know? Always on my toes. How was yours?
Much the same, mate. It's life is like a box of chocolates. You never know quite what you're going to get.
Yes.
When it comes to working in financial media, there's always a new headline just around the corner, isn't there?
Yes, especially when you're a diabetic too. You've got to be careful of box of chocolates. But let's kick things off with that disclosure about Scuddy's health status, which I'm not too sure if he's too enthused about. But market dead flat today after an initial rally. Couldn't hold on to those Wall Street gains. Saw a little bit of strength in the tech sector, but I guess use the term today that might have been a bit of a dash for trash, I think the phrase was. A lot of those speculative areas of the market performing well, but broadly speaking, again, market lower.
Yeah, mate, I'm staring at my mug here in the studio saying stonks only go up, and certainly they've been going down a lot over the course of the first half of the year, but today is just once again, so many of those names have been absolutely belted. Were the ones that were doing really, really well. Surprisingly enough, that they're all on the majority of them, I should say, were all on the most shorted list as of the last update. So I wonder whether we're getting a bit of a squeeze underway like we saw back in parts of late 2020 and in 2021 as a gamma squeeze, lots of option buying taking place, and whether we're seeing a repeat Mark 2.0, but of course, very different environment we find ourselves in now.
Yeah, definitely. And we were talking about it yesterday too, weren't we, though? Like, whether it was the return of day trader. And I think it was the, what's the organization called? The Options Clearing Corporation. They used to release some really good data about small lot size option trades. It kind of gave you a bit of a feel for how many, the volumes going through the market, and in particular, the volumes that related to trades placed by the day trader type. So I haven't seen that data yet, but when we talk about that kind of gamma squeeze at dynamic and what have you, that's what we saw in the past. It'd be interesting to see if we were able to see that data, whether that dynamic is coming back. But we digress. Well, we'll go through some of the big movements today. And again, we sort of touched on the nature of things. We saw Tyro Payments jump 17% or so. PointsBet rose 12%. Zip was up, actually, at different stages of this morning. In fact, by as much as 5 or 6%, if my memory serves me correctly. But it finished 3% lower. So that, kind of gambling chip theory about what's going on there that I have is obviously, well, fairly apparent, as well as still coming to fruition. But Orica, it announced, obviously, a cap raise yesterday for an acquisition. Its shares declined again. GrainCorp, it declined by 6.6%, and that's been sort of beaten up a little bit. But Scuddy, anything else that caught your eye? Because really, it was a pretty quiet day on the news front overall, I think.
No, there wasn't a lot. The trade balance here locally was, we all expected it was going to be a big one, but another massive record. Look, it was juiced by non-monetary gold, but heck, it's still an export item, and that's going to go and juice our GDP figures as well, real GDP in volume terms as well. So on top of what we saw with the retail sales volumes, things in early chart days are looking pretty good for Q2 GDP. That was one thing that caught my eye today. The other thing was just like the sheer volume that we're seeing going through of some of these more speculative names in the market, just a continuation of that. And it's just really interesting to go and see where it's coming from, because all it's coincided with is this pairing of expectations about rate hikes. But then, of course, I know inflation's still pretty sticky at the moment. So that's one of those things that investors at the moment are clearly starting to go way up, whether this is going to be sustainable or not.
Yeah, for sure. And I think as well, if I'm not mistaken, I had a few people comment on the when I shared the trade balance data that maybe there was a bit of softness in imports coming through there too that increased the surplus, which sort of points potentially to maybe a bit of weaker demand. But don't quote me on that. I'll refer that to an economist maybe tomorrow in the big picture. But let's get across some of the conversations we had today, because there were a few. And one of my personal favorites, and I always love being able to land on the show in which he is visiting, is James White from Lessip Investment Management. And he jumped across a few themes in particular, but really homed in on what the post-pandemic world looked like and had a pretty upbeat assessment of the way US households are faring at the moment, as well as the US housing market. Any conversation that you had, Scuddy, that sort of jumps out?
Tim Harcourt from UTS had a bit of a deep dive into the geopolitical situation, probably more down your neck of the woods, Carla. Mm. But yeah, really enjoyed. I know Nancy Pelosi, everyone knows that her visit to Taiwan certainly has ruffled a few feathers and caused a bit of ructions in financial markets earlier on in the week. So getting a bit of a history lesson about her family's history in relation to China was pretty interesting. And then where it potentially could go at the moment, this bifurcation of the world that we're seeing seemingly take place before our eyes. And Tim said that it's quite a worrying trend that's going on at the moment. So, yeah, keep a close eye on those developments.
Yeah, and I suppose at the risk of editorializing, which, you know, I always take that risk anyway, so why would I even come with a disclaimer? But Pelosi, career politician, always one of those people that you kind of feel... I always feel a little bit cynical about, you know what I mean? Just someone who's sat in the higher echelons of government for a very long time. To a questionable effect, perhaps. But you got to kind of hand it to it. It's a pretty gutsy thing to do, to jump on a military plane and fly pretty much in the face of China and touch down in Taiwan to make a point. And like you said before, she has form when it comes to, you know, effectively sticking the middle finger up at the CCP. So whether you agree with her or not, she certainly has flown that flag on numerous occasions in her political career. But we'll move on, because we had another couple of good conversations today. One of them was with Yu Lee. Spoke about the copper market in particular. Was that conversation with you, in fact? Was that
No,
Gags?
It wasn't, mate. That was Gags. Might have been with Andrew.
Yeah, okay. Well, it was a really, really good conversation. Really highly recommend that one. Again, it's an interesting chat at the moment, because you've got those short-term cyclical factors when it comes to the copper market, China slowing down, US recession, all that kind of stuff, China lockdowns, US potentially going into recession, slowing down, if nothing else. But there is this argument that there is going to be an incredible shortage of copper as we make our, obviously, big transition in the global economy to a greener future. And another conversation that I had today, which was really, really good, was with Sam Phillips from Reach Alternative Investments. And I always like those guys, the private market guys and gals, because they always seem to be very, very clever. It seems that you have to be very, very clever to do that job. And he talks about the diversification values of looking into private markets, and also kind of like a bit of a, you know, follow the money, or in our instance, the follow the flow kind of dynamic, where, you know, you've got a lot of super funds investing in or allocating away from public assets or assets on public markets into private markets. And that's that should be something of that retail investors potentially follow. But let's move on, because we'll get to the stock of the day. And fittingly enough, it was the Centuria Industrial REIT. It posted results today. Not such a bad set of numbers. Spoke, in fact, to Grant McNichol. Is it Grant Nichol? Yesterday, before these results were released, we had on the show Mark Gardner and Henry Jennings giving their view. Let's have a listen to what they had to say about Centuria Industrial REIT.
It's a pretty solid company, to say the least. I mean, it's a market leader, industrial property, 99%, let's face it, 98.8% of occupancy is pretty impressive. Don't seem to have been affected too much in the economic downturn. The problem that REITs have is, as interest rates go up, that does tend to affect the cost that they borrow at. This is only 33% geared. So it's relatively lightly geared. But also the question is with property revaluations, because a lot of the growth in REITs is from property revaluations. Now we're talking about house prices falling 10, 15, 20%. Now I know that industrial property is somewhat different, but you would imagine that it's still going to come under a little bit of pressure with higher rates. So it's a hold, you know, 6% yield, not fully franked, but it's guiding, etc., to 17 cents distribution for FY23. It's got great high quality assets. It ticks lots of boxes. It's just a bit dull.
They're expecting demand to remain high. This thing normally trades on a 10% premium to NTA. NTA is $4.24. So,
right. And
where the share price is right now is where it was a year ago. So even with those, even if property comes back, they in the last year they've had a 1.6% revaluation to the upside, which is it's definitely slowing. That's for sure. But I mean, the pullback in the industrial property prices is largely priced in at probably and some.
Right.
So, you know, this one's a staple of you know, for clients. Just, you know, very very steady she goes, as Henry pointed out. You know, we have to have a little bit of boring in our portfolios.
There you go. It's a double buy. So I don't think it's in the portfolio yet. So I think that goes to the investment committee for consideration.
I think Henry said that it wasn't. Doesn't mind it, but I just think it's not sexy enough at the moment. I think is
so. Do we count that as a double buy? Yeah. Oh, it's a hold. Okay, it's more of a hold. Okay, that's.
Oh, there we
enough.
Go. So not sexy enough. So Henry Jennings has decided that that's going to be not a candidate, but certainly Mark Garner from Acro says it's a staple. It's like having your breakfast in the morning. Your Wheaties,
and which
CIP as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. So there's the stock of the day. Let's just have a look very quickly at what we've got coming up in the next, say, 12 to 24 hours, what investors will be waking up to tomorrow morning, the news. Scotty, with the BOE, you reckon, I mean, there's a bit on the earnings front, but BOE, that's probably the highlight?
You'd say so. And you never quite can trust the BOE nowadays, can you? Because the unreliable boyfriend tag is stuck maybe across two governors now. Not just one, of course, Mark Carney into Andrew Bailey's getting a bit of reputation for maybe going and bending the promises that are provided to the market when it comes to forward guidance. So it'll be interesting to see how they're going to play it at the moment, but no one can go and doubt at the moment what's going on. There's inflationary pressures there are pretty intense. It's whether how much of that has been driven by external factors that they cannot control and how much is to do with demand. But one way or another, it's going to be pretty interesting to see what they say. What's coming up on the earnings front tonight? Because we are at the tail end. We've had over 70% of US companies report now. Any major names out still to go and report?
Well, it looks like we've got Block reporting. So that's going to be important for our market tomorrow, obviously, because it's got that dual listing there. So, and it's been a really big, a star performer over the last few days and weeks, Block. I just, every morning I go out and read that kind of stocks that we watch or whatever in the first hour of trade, and it always seems to be in the green, at least in the last couple of weeks since we've seen this kind of return to some of these tech and growthy names to some extent. So that's going to be interesting as to how our market trades tomorrow. But we also have Warner Brothers. It's going to be really interesting just because of the streaming wars. That's always a thematic and interesting topic. And, you know, we had announced in the last few days some programming that they would cut or not go ahead with potentially. That might be a bit of an interesting story to tell just because it might indicate, you know, the kind of very, very, very discretionary spending that goes on in the US economy, which I think you could probably say a lot of these streaming companies are very, very, very discretionary in their nature. The other one too, but they're always a little bit unreliable, is Alibaba is expected to report, but we'll see if they come through because they normally just do their own thing. Again, I get the sense BOE will be the big one. See what they do, see if they surprise us. 50 basis points baked in. But that's what we'll be waking up to tomorrow morning for TGIF.
Well, with that, we should probably say yibbida yibbida. That's all, folks. We'll go wrap it up there. Of course, non-farm payrolls out tomorrow evening as well. We'll see what it brings there. That's going to be a pretty crucial one, you'd imagine, as well. Carl, always a pleasure going to wrap up the day with you. Have a great afternoon, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.
You too, mate. Thanks.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.